couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
It is still September. It is still September.
It's just now September starting. Yeah.
It's been September pretty much all week.
It has, really.
Yeah.
All week long.
But September is one of those months where you sigh. It's very similar to August, where you sigh and you look at the movies and you go, The movies we got this week are Riddick.
That is the one big one this week.
That's it, pretty much.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the wide release.
Riddick.
I was telling somebody today that Vin Diesel and I look very similar without our shirts off.
Okay.
We're both lumpy.
Lumpy.
But the lumps are made of different things, and they're in different places.
Okay.
So, if you look at me in a funhouse mirror, I turn into Vin Diesel without my shirt on.
Okay. I will take your word for it.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
Moving right along.
There's also going to be The Ultimate Life, which is having a smaller release, but still like 400 theaters.
Yep, something like that.
Pretty much going nationwide on that one. And then Hell Baby, which is pretty much the same movie as The Ultimate Life.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty
very similar.
Same thing.
Very similar.
There's also going to be some news and DVD and Blu-rays that we're going to talk about. If you want to reach us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. Or on Twitter, you can reach me at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
That's right. Let's jump right into the box office.
Oh, because it's so exciting.
I know. I'm dragging here. And part of it's I'm exhausted. I've had a long week. You've had a long week.
I've been up all night with a sick baby.
Yeah.
It's been great. On top of everything else.
I take no responsibility.
These short weeks are crazy.
So we were talking about last week. We both said separately, independent of each other, One Direction at $20 million. And The Butler won the weekend.
Seriously.
The four-day weekend.
The Butler
with $20 million. This is the thing. It's a little bit confusing to talk about the
holiday weekend releases because you never know which days you're counting.
Yeah. If you count the four-day from Friday until Monday, The Butler won with $20
million. But if you count the three-day, then One Direction won.
One Direction won with $16 million for the three-day, $18 million for the four-day. What's funny is I know somebody who does box office reporting, and he reported on the Scott Mendelson from Forbes, and he reported on the Thursday night shows, which is a couple million. It made several million on a Thursday night. They said if this played out like a regular movie, it would have made $57 million over Labor Day weekend.
Wow.
That shows how front-loaded this thing was.
All the girls went out on Thursday night.
Yeah.
At midnight.
That's what it was. It was just all the girls, One Direction, and that was it.
Yep.
This thing will play itself out very quickly.
You don't think it's going to win the box office this weekend?
No. Mm. Interesting enough, though.
I should change my notes then.
People, there you go. Yeah. No, don't change it. Give a wildly inaccurate prediction. Can we do a victory dance? Are we allowed to?
I don't know if it's even allowed at this point.
I'm too tired to do a victory dance right now.
Yeah, let's just call it good and move on.
Yay! But anyways, the interesting thing about it is people call, Morgan Spurlock, it's made more money in the opening weekend than any of his movies made combined.
Well, there you go, Morgan Spurlock.
But I think it's a little bit inaccurate to call it Morgan Spurlock's One Direction, This Is Us.
It is true. It's not about Morgan Spurlock so much.
Your sick baby could have directed this herself.
Huh.
And
she probably could have.
It still would have made 17.
It probably would have been a little frantic, though.
Trust me, it was plenty frantic as it is. So, yeah.
You would have seen a lot of feet.
Okay, well, that's true. She's short.
It's true.
Well, that happens when you're one.
She's pretty tall for a baby, but in general, she's kind of short.
Still a baby.
Yeah.
Shorty.
Mm-hmm.
We're the Millers. My wife commented on how she says I call it We're the Millers or We're the Millers.
We're
the Millers. She says she has bothered by that. So we are the Millers.
We are The Millers.
That came in third at $16 million for the 4-day. Keep going down. But what's interesting is if you look at number five, there's this movie that nobody heard about until they started reporting box office this weekend.
I've heard about it. I saw a review somewhere.
Yeah, you did?
That's all I've heard.
Instructions Not Included made $10 million over the 3-day weekend or the 4-day weekend. This movie was only in 348 theaters.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a bilingual movie about a guy who finds out he has a child and has to take care of the child and learn to be a father. It's a typical story, but the mm-hmm. difference is that he's Mexican and part of the movie's in English, part of it's in Spanish. I actually saw a trailer for this a couple weeks ago when I think it's when I went and saw The Mortal Instruments. And I remember thinking, oh, that looks okay. When's that coming out?
Yeah.
And suddenly,
apparently,
it blew
other
up.
People knew about it and you did not.
Yes. I'm not the target market. I'm sure that being Spanish language, it was probably heavily advertised in the Spanish language markets. It goes to show you once again, and I think it's so funny when Hollywood or reporters discover them like, what? These people go see movies?
Nice.
Spanish language speakers go see movies? Yeah, that happens.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Every single time something comes out. We get that every now and then with Indian movies showing up.
Yeah.
We had one this summer. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, there was a Bollywood movie that came in pretty high in the box office this year. Which we were a little surprised, too, because, well, it's kind of a niche market.
And they don't show it to us. They don't care about what we have to say.
No.
There's actually quite a few movies that are bilingual movies and Bollywood movies that show up. It's just when one of them kind of jumps up into the charts, it's kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
So good for this movie. The big thing I'm going to be curious about is if this movie, how much it expands this weekend and how much of that audience it retains.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you have these smaller releases, like I said, it was only in 350 theaters.
Right.
Once you expand it to more theaters, you don't necessarily expand the audience. It's just everyone flocked to those theaters. Because 350 theaters, that's enough to get the major cities and definitely saturate your markets that have high Spanish-speaking populations.
Sure.
So
we'll see what happens.
Wow. Suddenly got very esoteric and
philosophical.
Wow, there we go.
That's weird.
Anyways, Getaway came in 10th with $5.6 million. Terrible numbers. And then Closed Circuit.
Terrible movie.
Closed Circuit even was worse. 16 at $3.1 million. Oh, well.
Oh, it was a rough week.
Yes.
And it continues to be. Let's move on.
Let's move on. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about some news. First of all, big headline. Benedict Cumberbatch will not be playing Khan in Star Wars 7.
Oh. That was big news this week. Everybody was talking about it.
That's the most accurate way you can talk about this story.
It's true.
For those who don't know what happened, somehow it was because he dropped a movie and everyone's like, oh, he's going to be in Star Wars Episode 7. And they just assumed he was going to be a Sith Lord.
And everybody went crazy about it.
Yes.
The internet exploded.
Again.
Yeah. Because it's Benedict Cumberbatch, and who doesn't love Benedict Cumberbatch?
I made a batch of Benedict Cumberbatch cookies.
Nice.
He should be a Keebler elf is what he should be.
Oh, boy.
He should come and you can have, like, what's the Keebler elves, the main guy? Does he have a name?
I don't know.
He comes in, and then, like, Benedict Cumberbatch could come in and, like, kill everybody with his con powers and a lightsaber.
Oh, boy. You really have to lay off the cough syrup. Whew.
Anyways, what's he doing, really?
He is doing The Lost City of Z.
Not the world...
Maybe.
Was it The Lost City of World War Z?
No.
No.
Also starring Brad Pitt, who was originally supposed to be in The Lost City of Z.
He says, I'm not doing a movie unless it has a Z in the title.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a movie that's been tossed around for the last, like, 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And Brad Pitt was in it, but then he dropped out and he did Killing Them Softly, which was a great career move for him.
Terrible.
And now apparently Benedict Cumberbatch is supposed to be in it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. There is actually another little bit of news, and I'm just going to tease it because we got to go to a break and we're going to probably talk about this a little bit. This is the big news for this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the epic casting of 50 Shades of Grey for all you horny housewives out there. We now have the names of the people who are going to be playing the people. Anastasia is the girl's name.
Something like that.
Percy McPuddleface or
Percy
whatever.
Jackson.
Percy Jackson. All right. We come back from the break. We're going to talk about the casting.
Shake that.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We were just talking about the big casting news of the week that does not involve Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's right. And who do we have in this one? We've got Charlie Hunnam.
Yes.
From Sons of Anarchy.
And also Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim.
Yes.
He will be playing... It's
Christian
not
Percy
McPuddleface. Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey. And then Dakota Johnson.
Yes.
Who is relatively unknown.
The child of...
Melanie Griffith.
And Don Johnson.
Don Johnson.
Yes.
She will be playing Anastasia McPuddleface.
Yes.
In 50 Shades of Grey.
Percy Jackson.
What are your thoughts on this? You haven't read the book. I haven't read the books.
I have not read the books.
I don't know.
I honestly haven't heard many good things about the books. So... So I've kind of avoided them because I had somebody write about them for my site and she hated them. In fact, before the show, we were reading parts of her review, which they were kind of funny.
It was actually a pretty good read.
Yeah.
The review was, at least.
So, yeah, I guess I'm not that attached to the casting.
Yeah.
Couldn't really care less.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. It's one of those things that... Apparently, the fans are a little bit up in arms about the casting. Not necessarily Charlie Hunnam.
Him,
but not...
It's
not
a big deal.
Not as much as they are upset about her.
No, everybody's upset about him, too.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't seen the... I know that there's an online petition to get
there
her...
There is.
Oh,
and
works.
Let's see. The last time I checked, there was over 17,000 signatures.
That's it?
Yeah.
For her? Wait, to recast her or
in
him?
In general.
Just, we don't like the casting at all.
Yeah, they don't like Charlie Hunnam. They want Matt Bomer.
Yeah, it's not gonna
from White Collar.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seems that all of the fans already had the casting figured out and they're really mad that Hollywood didn't follow along with that.
Yeah.
Because that's how we usually do it in Hollywood.
Well, and they also have a whole bunch of other actresses along the way, like Emma Watson and people who turned it down.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming they were probably like, well, there's gonna be probably nudity and a few sex scenes. I heard that there's a little bit of sex in this book. Is there just
a little bit from what I've heard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I've seen people complain because apparently they don't quite look the part. I don't know. I think Charlie Hunnam's not that good of an actor.
No, not so much. I mean, I did see Pacific Rim.
Apparently he was on Queer as Folk and he was good in that in terms of acting.
Uh-huh.
But part of it with him actually is he's British. Or somewhere that's not American. He's either British or Australian or, you know, wherever.
Oh, dear.
Someplace that has a hoity-toity accent.
We are so intelligent on this show.
My apologies to Brits. But no, when you try to get rid of your accent like that, especially if it's like a British or a New Zealand or a Welsh accent, it tends to deaden your voice.
There are some actors who do it remarkably well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also quite seasoned actors.
Well, somebody like Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
He would be great as Christian Grey.
Hugh Laurie.
But, I mean, somebody like
maybe we should start a petition for that.
Yes. I want to see him just do the worst casting. This is just sort of like, casting. Yeah. I want to see just the worst. I want to see him say, like, we're going to take Craig Robinson and cast him, and then we're going to also cast Betty White as Anastasia. That would be the best. That's what they should. They should say, okay, petition with 17,000 signatures. You really want to see it? Craig Robinson, Betty White. That's what's happening right here.
You have a problem with our casting? Here you go.
Suck it. I don't know. I mean, Dakota Johnson, I've only seen her a couple things, and it's not very big roles, and
no.
I don't know whether she can act or not.
She was in a short-lived TV series for Fox, I believe.
Okay.
Ben and Kate? Kate and Ben? I don't know.
Something.
I don't
know. She was in, like, the 5-year engagement, and she, like, showed up in, like, the last episode of The Office. These kind of roles.
She was Miss Golden Globe once, I think.
Oh, really?
I'm sure she was.
So, I don't know. I think that it's... everyone's always going to have an opinion. We'll see what happens when they get on the set. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of faith in this movie because it just doesn't really interest me because it seems like – I haven't read the book. I'm not going to read the book, so don't yell at me for
that. You don't read.
I don't read.
No.
They're making a movie out of it. Seriously, why would I even bother at this point? But my whole point being is I've never heard anything beyond it just being the risque angle to it. It's just it's a naughty book to read, and that's what you hear about.
Which brings up another topic.
Yes.
That you had brought up earlier, too. Mm-hmm.
Which has been talked about for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Should it get an NC-17 rating? What are your thoughts?
That's a tough call.
Okay.
I don't know that a lot of housewives would go to see it if it's an NC-17 rating.
Oh, they go in droves.
You think?
I think they would.
You see,
Magic
but
Mike.
That is why, yeah, but Magic Mike was not NC-17.
It could have been. It would not have kept the, it probably would have done better.
But that's the thing. This is why the ebook market is so huge for romance.
Yeah.
Because people don't really want to go to the store and be seen buying these things.
Yes.
Or they don't really want to be seen reading them. So they have ebooks for that because you can't really see what you're reading and you don't have a lot of, you know, things going on when you're downloading them. So,
yeah.
So people don't see that you're doing it. So I don't know if people really want to be seen going into an NC-17 movie. That's my thought.
I think there's a lot to that. There's a stigma to NC-17. I think it has more to do with the studio and the theaters on that level. The last NC-17 movie, well, I remember Hatchet 2 came out and got an NC-17 rating, or it went unrated, and then it didn't do very well, and so then they just pulled it from the theaters. And they've had a couple NC-17.
Blue Valentine?
Blue Valentine was given an NC-17
did
rating.
Did they move that back to R?
But they got an R, but it was Shame that got an NC-17 rating. That's probably the highest profile one that got one recently. But the thing is, no. Shame was not a mainstream movie, and it was never going to play well at a multiplex.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't. And also, Steve McQueen shot that from beginning to end, quite literally, with no question that it was going to be an NC-17 movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, 50 Shades, part of the problem they're going to have is that there's still going to be theaters that are not going to want to play it.
Right.
And the studio's still going to come in and be like, no. And there are all these people saying, well, how could they do these scenes and not make them NC-17? I'm like, yeah, trust me, they will.
Yep.
They can shoot stuff all the time, and it's going to be erotic, and it's going to be sensual, and they're going to milk it for what it is, and it's still not going to get the NC-17.
It can be done.
Yeah.
And it will be.
And it's got the power of Sony behind it. So it could be very risque. Oh, it's Sony. No, Universal. Universal's doing it.
Okay.
They got Universal behind it, and Universal has a lot more sway in this. And because it's such a huge movie, they can make a deal. As opposed to a movie like Shame or Hatchet 2, these movies that...
Hatchet 2.
These movies that are not backed by a major studio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shame had Fox Searchlight, and that's the biggest it got. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to be even an issue. I think it's going to be there, and they might get that NC-17 and then make the negotiations and cuts that are necessary. That's about it. All right, let's play the trailer for the next movie. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Really quickly.
Riddick. Vin Diesel returns as a sci-fi warrior who's bent on revenge.
Don't know how many times I've been crossed off the list and left for dead. So this ain't nothing new.
Bounty hunters.
I've been hunting Riddick for 10 years. He's the most dangerous man we've ever tracked.
Bounty's been doubled.
I've come to collect your head in a box.
They didn't show this to us.
No.
So it gets a preemptive suck.
It does.
And we might talk about it just briefly on the other side of the break.
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style.
Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We were talking a little bit about Riddick. I mean, at least just, you know, do a little bit more discussion, I guess.
Is there more to discuss?
Well, this is the thing, but this was made
back when... discussed Vin Diesel.
Well, Vin Diesel...
And his similarities to you.
He was this young pup back then when he did, you know...
It's true. That was... The first one came out in, like, 2000,
yeah,
right?
Pitch Black was, yeah, 99 or 2000. I mean, he was, like, kind of like Zac Efron, just this little guy with a basketball dancing on a court.
Did he sing in that one?
He should have. Because he's got a deep voice. But anyways, Pitch Black was okay for what it was. It wasn't that great of a movie. And this series itself is one of those that surprises me that they get sequels made.
Yeah.
Because Pitch Black didn't... It was not a box office juggernaut. And then they made The Chronicles of Riddick. And that was not a box office juggernaut. And they're like, well, it didn't work 10 years ago. Let's do another sequel. So it must
let's
do well.
Give it a try.
Yeah, I mean, it must do well on video or something.
I have no idea.
I've seen them both, and I'll tell you, Pitch Black's okay for what it is. And then The Chronicles of Riddick, it tries to get bigger.
Mm.
It tries to tell this sort of like space opera type story and fails. I mean, miserably at it. Judi Dench shows up for like 5 minutes. Yeah. And Calm Fior is, like, the bad guy.
Must have been a rough year for Judi Dench.
It was bizarre.
Mm.
But I give him credit for trying to do something different and something bigger, you know, epic, more epic. But they lose all that credit when it just fails miserably.
Yeah.
And in this one, at least, it looks like they're kind of going back to sort of the formula for Pitch Black, where he's running around on a planet and there are creatures trying to kill him.
Apparently. That's what it looks like, yeah.
It looks pretty much like Pitch Black.
Okay.
So... I don't know.
People liked it. Might as well.
It'll get another sequel in 10 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it gets a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us. It's September.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the next movie.
Speaking of September.
Speaking of September. This is a smaller movie in limited release. Very limited release, actually. Yes. I don't know where it's opening aside from our hometown.
There's a dozen cities, maybe.
Yeah, not
yeah,
very
something
many.
Like that.
This is, of course, we're talking about Hellbaby.
Hellbaby!
Yeehaw.
Exactly what you've been waiting for.
Rob Corddry and Leslie Bibb star as a pregnant couple who move into a haunted house in the ghetto and face the birth of a demon baby.
This neighborhood is on the upswing.
We could paint this place today, sell it tomorrow, and still make money.
Yes, we could.
Jeepers.
I'm just a little nervous in this house.
Hey, there's not one thing to be afraid of in this house.
What are you doing out there?
You can't move into the Maison de Sang and not raise a few eyebrows.
Maison de Sang?
What does it mean?
House of Blood.
Oh, well, that's cool.
You actually got a chance to watch the whole thing.
I did.
What are your thoughts?
In the midst of my own demon baby adventures.
your baby's projectile vomiting around you.
Which, you know, was quite appropriate, considering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this was written by Thomas Lennon.
And Ben Garrett.
Yes.
What's his name? Yeah.
And I used to think that Thomas Lennon was really funny. I was clearly wrong. Because this just, I know it wants to be funny. It really thinks it's funny, but it is not funny.
Did you see Balls of Fury?
I think
so. The ping pong movie?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He did that one too,
yeah.
Didn't he?
I think so. Yeah, this is not funny.
Did you think Balls of the Fury was funny?
I think I did.
Okay.
It's been a while. But yeah, I don't think I laughed once during this movie. Not once.
There were a couple times where I did laugh. I got a couple good
on purpose?
Before. Yeah.
Or, oh.
Yeah. No, it was like there was one and I'm like, okay, that's funny. But you know what? They do Reno 911 and that's a very funny show. Do you watch that? Have you watched it?
I don't know.
It's funny for what it
is.
I
hear it's funny.
It's good. And their movie they did was good. I like that. The thing is, I just don't think they're that good when they do something that's not Reno 911.
Yeah. Yeah, I still am trying to figure out what the point of this whole thing was.
Well, you know, this is the thing. There are two things it's not. It's not found footage.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets a little tick on my good list, okay? My nice list. And it's also not a direct spoof of something. It's not
that's
like...
That's true.
You know, I mean, it's not like Epic Movie or Meet the Spartans where it's like, we're going to take this very specific movie and make a big send-up. I mean, it kind of has elements of The Exorcist, but it's not following the story. So
no.
I give them
but
credit for
there
that.
There are priests in it who have their own very lengthy backstory.
Which is I guess part of the joke, but
yeah. And they eat a lot of po' boys.
I really wanted a po' boy
sandwich.
There are
seriously
after watching
massive
this.
Po' boy montages in yeah. this movie.
They get a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that I have a feeling that in theaters it's not going to do well, but when people watch it at home and there are mind-altering chemicals involved, it's probably going to do pretty well.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's kind of one of those Harold and Kumar movies without having the signature Harold and Kumar element to them necessarily. Although I think those are funnier movies.
It's true. They're a lot funnier. And I don't even love the Harold and Kumar movies, but they're a lot funnier than this.
And it does have an interesting scene in there that I did have to go back and watch a couple times because I wanted to verify.
Really?
You know the scene
research.
I'm talking about. Yes, for research. Because I'm watching this. I'm like, oh, we just talked about this a couple weeks ago. And, yeah. So
I did think of you when that popped up. It's like, oh, I know Kevin's taking notes on this one.
I'm not gonna, there's actually a character element to it that made me want to figure out what was happening. But the thing is, we had online screeners, so it was kind of blurry. It was, and the watermark was right where I was trying to look at.
Nice. Excuse me, can I zoom in on your online screener?
Can I pause and zoom in and do digital manipulation? Anyways.
Nice. The hand motions that you just did with that one.
Anyways.
Priceless.
What's your take? What's your final grade on
Hellbaby? I'm going to say it sucks.
I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. It's one of those that I have a feeling, yeah, if I were drunk and in a room full of other drunk people, it'd probably be funnier.
Well, yeah, a lot of things are, though.
That's true.
I mean, Riddick would probably be hilarious.
I don't know. We'll see. All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Chris and Dora Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's move on to the next movie.
Yeah, a similar film.
Very much. It's sort of like a sister story to Hellbaby.
Right.
And that is The Ultimate Life. In this follow-up to the 2006 film The Ultimate Gift, we see a story of how a billionaire made his fortune before leaving it to his family for a charitable foundation.
She's gone, Hamilton.
I'm sure she didn't just decide to move on a whim.
Yeah, well, if you've not noticed, I've been a little busy at the foundation.
The 12 gifts that your grandfather taught you. Any idea where they came from?
No.
Well, you're about to find out. He kept the journal from the time he was 15. Maybe you can find something from his past to help you here in the present.
What are you doing?
Every day I make a list of 10 things that I'm grateful to God for.
I'll be grateful someday.
Now, you saw The Ultimate Gift.
I did, and I hated it.
Yeah. That's what you warned me of that before I sat down and watched this one. And I was like, oh, great. This should be good.
So you want to hear what I have?
I would love to hear what you have to say about it.
First of all, when I wrote my review of The Ultimate Gift,
mm-hmm.
I started off by saying, look, this is a movie that my mother-in-law would love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is the kind of thing that you'd see. It was by Fox Faith was what released it. So it has this religious angle to it. It's something you'd see on like, the Hallmark Channel.
Right.
Or something of
which
that.
Which is funny because, you know, I was just talking to my mother this morning and they're in the process of moving.
Okay.
So they have to get different cable.
Oh, no.
And she was saying how, you know,
my dad
gets his speed vision back. So that's really exciting. And my mom gets her Hallmark Channel back. And I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
If you like the movies, have you ever seen the films, The Loves Unending, whatever?
No, I have actually avoided those.
Loves Big Underpants, whatever. All those stories. It's a whole series. Katherine Heigl was in it before she became famous. That's how long they've been making these movies. Mm-hmm. Or the Sarah Plain and Tall. These kind of movies. That's what The Ultimate Gift was.
They're, you know, schmaltzy and melodramatic. And, yeah.
And very heavy-handed and are not very subtle with their message. So it's not something that I at all had any interest in. This is all The Ultimate Gift. And so I'm sure my mother-in-law would love it. And people who like that sort of thing will probably love it too. Now, it's a little bit different with The Ultimate Life, though.
Okay.
And although we're kind of running out of time here. So why don't we talk more about The Ultimate Life?
Let's do that.
On the other side of the break. And we'll see you in a bit.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer, and we're talking a little bit about The Ultimate Life. I'll just move into The Ultimate Life really quickly here. This movie is not as heavy-handed as The Ultimate Gift is.
Okay.
And it is.
It's still pretty heavy-handed.
It's heavy-handed, and it definitely has this message there.
Yes.
But, I mean, it doesn't, like, beat you over the face with it the way they do in The Ultimate Gift.
Okay.
And so I appreciated that. I was like, oh, they tempered it a little bit. It was telling
there is a story.
Yes.
It tells the whole story of this kid's grandfather and how he made his billions and learned what's important in life.
Yes.
That's pretty much the story.
Yeah. And
spoilers.
Well, part of the thing is with the other thing with The Ultimate Gift was it kind of had this weird mixed message where it's like money is not everything. It's all about love and people, and because you learn that, we're going to give you a lot of money because that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, whoa, now hold on a second. What is the message here? And then you watch, and the other thing with The Ultimate Life is you watch it and you see how this guy, because in The Ultimate Gift, all the other, the grandfather who ends up, he has stories told in this movie, all of his children are fighting over the fortune and everything, and they're all awful people. And you basically get to see how they became awful people.
Yeah. I was telling my husband about that. He's like, so this guy was also a horrible father.
Yeah,
like, oh, yeah. Terrible, terrible father who raised terrible, greedy, horrible children.
Yeah. And when he's younger, he's like, all he cares about is making money. And
right. Which makes it a challenge to sit through it. Because you're like, oh, he is a terrible person.
But I will say this. I thought a lot of those were sort of what it was boxed into from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
For what it was, I was okay with it.
Its heart is in the right place.
Yes.
It's just more of a made-for-TV movie kind of feel.
It definitely feels like a made-for-TV movie. But I will say, I've seen my fair share of faith-based movies.
Mm-hmm.
And not to step on any toes, but my opinion of a lot of faith-based movies is sort of my same opinion of Christian rock, in that there's a lot of garbage out there. And that's the way it is with regular movies. And regular
There's a lot of garbage out there anyway.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people, for example, that are making movies that can't – they don't make good enough movies to make it in the mainstream, but they make these movies that can get into a niche market, and there's just a little less competition there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And movies like, did you ever see Fireproof?
I didn't.
Oh,
Kara Cameron. Yes. No, I missed that one.
So bad. Oh, that movie is so awful.
And it makes me sad. You know, I would like to see these movies be more solid and better movies. But yeah, they just end up so schmaltzy in the end. It's like, oh.
Yeah. I ended up watching Fireproof, and it's a terrible thing. And political views aside, with Kara Cameron, I've heard stories. He's a genuinely good guy, a nice guy, and you can disagree with him politically and religiously or whatever. But he's cobbled by not being able to do the full dramatic end to end that you need to do for a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
And Fireproof was terrible. It was such a bad movie. This thing is a masterpiece compared to something like Fireproof. And again, also it doesn't bludgeon you with the religious message. It has that message of money isn't everything.
Yes.
Even though it kind of is. So.
It's what you do with it that matters.
Yeah.
There you go.
Any other thoughts on the movie?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
So what's your rating? What's your grade?
I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
I'm going to give it just a kind of rocks, simply because I saw The Ultimate Gift first.
There you go. I did not have that, so.
I should lend you my copy of it. I still have a screener disc.
Please do. I would. No, I wouldn't.
No. Oh, heavens. All right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Oh, it's September.
Yes, it is. Let's move on to our next segment, which we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw.
Woo.
We're tired.
Of September.
We're like, it's not even a week through.
Seriously. It's got to get better, right? Can you tell me it's going to get better?
No, I cannot. Mm. All right, let's talk about movies on DVD and Blu-ray. We've got Now You See Me, which you did not like.
Yeah,
you sort of liked it.
Yeah, I sort of liked it. Okay. It was all right. It was our dear friend Nicholas Harum who hated it. Yeah. And I sat next to him, which kind of made me like it even more because it was so much fun watching it with Nick when he hated it.
I actually told Nick when I got the screener for The Ultimate Life, I said I would pay money to watch him watch that movie because he would hate it.
Oh, yeah.
He would like take a soldering iron and burn his eyes out so he wouldn't have to watch it.
And now you see me, he pretty much hated it walking in. Mm. He knew that because of Woody Harrelson's hat.
I don't know why that's
these are the things
deal.
That Nick gets hooked up on. So, yeah, and Woody Harrelson had a horrible hat, and he was going to hate this movie.
I thought it was a very disposable but fun movie.
It's not as smart as I would have loved it to be.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
It was kind of the little movie that could.
This
summer.
Yeah, it kept up at the box office for months. In fact, it's still making money at the box office.
It is at over $300 million worldwide.
Which is crazy.
Holy cow.
Because I barely even remember this movie anymore. What happens in this movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
But people like to see it.
It's a fun little movie.
It is.
There's also Lords of Salem. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I did not.
I did not. It's not quite your kind of movie.
I would like to see it, actually.
I'm curious
to
see
it. It's a Rob Zombie movie. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Because sometimes his movies are terrible.
Because it's a Rob Zombie movie.
Have you seen Halloween 2? It's awful. Oh, my word. I'd rather watch The Ultimate Gift again.
Nice.
Than
there you have it.
There's also The Office Season 9. Do you watch The Office?
No. I did here and there.
You smattered through it?
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of The Office, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. It was all right, but... Mm.
I watched it. What happened, I didn't start watching until it was like the fifth season or something, because I got the Blu-ray to review, and I got strep throat.
Okay.
And I watched The Office, and then I burned through all the previous seasons on Netflix because I was just stuck on the couch for like 3 or 4 days.
And so you watch 5 seasons of television in 3 days?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I'd wake up, I'd watch television, I'd take Tylenol, I'd fall asleep, I'd wake up, I'd watch and that's when you've had strep throat. That's the one thing that knocks me out. I can deal with pneumonia, but not strep throat.
Okay.
But the final season of The Office,
so,
actually...
if you have strep throat, The Office is awesome.
Well, here's the thing. The last season was really rough.
Mm.
Season 8 was really rough, and it's because Steve Carell left.
Right.
And they finally got their footing in this final season. This season actually is a lot better than the previous one.
Hmm.
And then it gets to the end, and they end the show, and it's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah.
Tear up a little bit.
Mm.
It's kind of a nostalgic thing.
Mm.
So. There's also Parks and Recreation Season 5. Do you watch that?
Nope.
Yeah, if you don't like if you're not watching The Office, you're probably...
It's true. No, it's, I see the end of it before something else comes on. I think it was on right before Community, right?
It's either that. It was
something
either before
like
Community or New Girl
or
something.
Something like that.
But yeah, that's a great show. And that's sort of The Office.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that it's a great show.
It's very funny.
But and it's one of those that after a while, you're just not jumping on that bandwagon and you don't want to, be one of those guys. It's like everybody thinks it's cool, so I'm going to have to watch it too.
Well, here's the thing with Parks and Rec versus The Office. The Office always has its roots in dry humor.
Mm-hmm.
And because it comes from the British show and they've dealt with being dry humor and being kind of crazy and goofy at times, this one is – Parks and Rec has always been way goofier from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like The Office – did you watch WKRP in Cincinnati?
I was a little young then,
okay.
But I have watched it. Yeah, I have.
There's a real famous episode where there's a fight between two mascots, and the people who made the show said they thought that was the worst episode because it went to the lowest form of humor in terms of just the slapsticky thing.
Yeah.
But that's one of the most popular episodes, and that's kind of what The Office does now and then. It swerves into the WPIG mascot fight.
Okay.
But Parks and Rec is firmly rooted in that. There's a couple other things. There's Person of Interest, Season 2. Haven from the Sci-Fi Channel,
mm-hmm.
Season 3. Scandal. Do you watch Scandal?
No. Again.
No.
See, what do I do? I guess I don't watch any TV.
You don't watch much TV.
I watch tons of TV. I don't know. We never talk about the stuff that I watch.
Scandal is probably the best TV show done by Shonda Rhimes. But then again, she's awful, so.
Okay.
Then there's The Vampire Diaries, Season 4.
I do not watch that.
You don't watch that either?
No.
I stopped watching that. I get irritated.
I intentionally do not watch that.
And they stopped sending me the DVDs. So I'm like, why bother?
Yeah.
All right. The stinger of the week for me is Sharknado. Just because you have to put Sharknado in there.
Do you have a stinger? I don't know. Because it's Sharknado. I mean, it blew up the internet.
It did. It blew up the internet before Ben Affleck did.
True that.
Keep a lookout for the new rap album by Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Sold on fatguysinthemovies.com.
I'm teaming up with Ben Affleck for a rap album.
Bust a rhyme there.
Yeah.
All right. Review wrap-up. We're coming to the end of the show. Oh, Riddick,
phew.
Preemptive Suck, The Ultimate Life, you said kinda sucks. And I said barely kinda rocks. Hell Baby, you said sucks. And I said, kinda sucks, but it might be better when you're drunk.
There you go.
Next week, we're going to be talking about Insidious, Chapter 2, and The Family.
See ya.